I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's bring in someone who is in the know. She is Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
Well.
Good. Always good to talk to you on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let me start there because, you know, we had Mark Sessler on earlier and Chris Rose, and I mean, it just seems so like we're just so pathetic that we have to think that an 0-2 start is must win but for week two. But I guess it is the reality, Mary Kay. I mean, they can't start the season 0-2 with a loss to the Bengals tomorrow night, can they?
Well, it really, really puts you behind the eight ball in terms of hoping to make the playoffs if you get out to an 0-2 start. I mean, the statistics diminish greatly. It's something like, I don't know exactly what it is right now, but it's somewhere around 17% or 20% chance or whatever of making the playoffs if you start 0-2. So it's not must win, because I'm saying there's still a chance if that happens. But it is definitely a vitally important game to win because of the nature of what happened in week one, and because it's at home and it is a division game.
So, Mary Kay, you've been around there a little bit. You've talked to a couple people. You've done all those things, and you wrote a great piece on Cleveland.com all about Odell Beckham Jr. and the trade rumors that are surrounding him. What do you make out of all of that? Is there actual trade rumors for Odell, or is this just all blustery hot air from a man who is known for being quite blustery?
You know, I don't know. You know, I have been checking into trying to figure out if they actually have had any conversations with any teams about this, based on what Mike Francesa said yesterday on the Fan or tweeted yesterday. So I have looked into it, but I also wrote a column, you know, myself, just kind of my own thinking, you know, saying if they are going to be 100% committed to Baker Mayfield, and we know that they are, then they should really consider letting Odell seek a trade. Now, having said that, you know darn well he's going to go out tomorrow night and he's going to have 10 catches, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But it just seems to me, I feel like there is enough of a disconnect between these two guys. I don't think their styles match up with each other very well. I don't know that Odell is going to suddenly get super happy with the situation here. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, it just might be time to at least consider cutting your losses on this and trying to get something out of it.
Mary Kay, I mean, is there discontent in the locker? I'm not asking, like, is there a mutiny in the locker room, but do you think that, I mean, you write that, we hear stories about this. Are there rumblings from within the locker room to say, hey, maybe this isn't the right fit, maybe this isn't working? Or because I've never heard anybody say he's a bad teammate. But I'm wondering if there is a feeling going on inside the locker room that might be like, hey, I wonder how we'd be without him.
No, it's nothing like that at all. No, okay. He's a great teammate. He is a wonderful teammate. And I think Kevin Stefanski really likes him. All of his teammates really like him. It's nothing like that. It's just that it just doesn't seem to me that there is a connection between him and Baker. Now, I do think hopefully for them, get better. They didn't use enough play action in that game. That was another little column that I wrote yesterday. We heard all offseason about how play action was going to open things up for everybody, and they only used it 21.4% of the time. Now, some of that I'm sure is because they fell behind, and you know, some of that stuff might not work as well. But I don't think you have to go away from it in the second half. I don't think they needed to. I don't think they needed to go away from that or the corresponding running game. And I think Baker fares much better out of play action. So, you know, I think if they increase that against the Bengals, then he and Odell might connect better. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't looked good. I mean, he has averaged 3 receptions and 42 yards in his division games. And there's just something that's just off about those two guys. I mean, look at this. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins connected in their very first game together 14 out of 16 times for 151 yards. So it's not time on task like Odell tries to keep telling us that it is. I think it's more than that. I think there is just maybe it's not a style fit. You know, Odell is someone, that likes to work to get open in any way that he can. He's got to shake guys off. He's got to beat double teams. He's got to freelance a little bit. That's not the offense that he's in right now. That's not it at all. Baker likes to throw to a spot. He likes the player to be exactly where he wants him to be at any given time. And, you know, if these guys are going to get it together, they're going to have to kind of find some middle ground on that whole thing.
Thank you so much for saying all the play action stuff, because that is beyond true. They need to just continue to run play action, and they need to continue to run the ball and set up the run. So Nick Chubb got 10 carries in this game. Was that due to the fumble that took place, or is that just due to a game plan? Oh, no, we got behind and now we have to throw.
You know, I'm sure it was a combination of things. Once again, we must remember, this coaching staff, they don't know their personnel yet. They don't know exactly how each guy responds in a game. They don't know who's going to get the hot hand. They don't know how they're going to work together. And I think there was an effort in this game to try to mix it up and shake it up a little bit and spring some Kareem Hunt on the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that was one strategy. And then I do think that once they fell behind, they probably did go away from the run game a little bit prematurely, and they also went away from the play-action game. Because here's the thing. You don't necessarily have to be running the ball for play-action to work. I mean, you can still run some play-action even if you're behind. That is my feeling. And I've talked to other people about this, and offensive coaches and things like that. You know, you can still do those kinds of things. And for whatever reason, they didn't. Baker's rating was 91.9 when he was in play action, and it was 56.9 or something like that when he wasn't in play action in this game. And it was like that last year, too. So he functions way, way, way better with a play fake involved, and they just need to do more of that.
Mary Kay, I thought you brought up an interesting point that maybe they don't know their personnel, you know, obviously as well as they would like to, based on everything that's happened in the offseason. But, I mean, I know that I said this, and I've heard a lot of other people say it too. It just, in watching Sunday's game, it felt a lot like last year. And it was like there were no lessons learned on running the ball or trying to force the ball or things like that. Did you see the game the same way?
Well, here's what I think. Things are way different than last year. Last year was disorganized, dysfunctional, discombobulated, and every other dis you could possibly think of. It's not like that this year, but these guys, you know, that was the very first time they put this team together out on the football field. And everything's new. It's a whole new coaching staff. It's a new scheme. Baker's got new footwork, new terminology, new personnel. It was the first time. I mean, think about that. You know, normally that would have been the first preseason game, and everybody would have been like, oh, they've got work to do. Well, you know what? They didn't have that opportunity this year. So, you know, I think Kevin Stefanski probably learned a lot about his team in that game, about himself in that game. I'm sure Alex Van Pelt did too. And, you know, now they've got something to go back and look at the film and say, oh, yeah, this is how this is going to work. This is what Kareem is going to do here. This is how Nick responds. This is what we look like. This is how we functioned when, you know, we're in three tight ends or whatever. You know, they got to see it for the very first time. And they had to see it against one of the best teams in the NFL for the very first time. So that's a tough way to get rolling.
She is Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Of course, read her latest column at Cleveland.com on Odell Beckham. It was excellent and definitely worth a read. And so let's move to the defensive side of the ball here, Mary Kay. What do you do with this defense that just got eaten alive by Lamar Jackson? Is it just Lamar being unbelievable, or are there some serious issues here that need to get cleaned up before tomorrow?
Well, you know what? The Browns are never going to make excuses for themselves, but I'm going to make one for them. This defensive football team is completely beat up. They were missing four starters in that game. Now, yes, I understand that you have to rely on your depth and it's next man up and all of those wonderful cliches. But there is a difference when you don't have Greedy Williams, Kevin Johnson, and Grant Delpit, three of your top defensive backs that you expected to be out there, not on the football field. It makes a difference. It makes a difference when Mack Wilson isn't out there. You know, they don't have a whole lot of experience at linebacker as it is. So except for your front four, you know, they were kind of down to, you know, guys that normally would be third-team guys. Tavier Thomas, you know, he had barely played any defensive snaps before, and there he was in a very, very crucial nickel role that was supposed to go to former first-round pick Kevin Johnson. So, you know, there are extenuating circumstances right now. I don't think it's time to push the panic button in any way, shape, or form, but especially on a defense that's just so beat up.
All right, what do you think about tomorrow night then, Mary Kay? How does this team bounce back?
Well, you know, I think they have to run the ball more. We talked about that. I think they need to rely more on Nick and Kareem, and I think they will. I think if you continue to stick with that, you can wear down the Bengals. You can, you know, they had a pretty decent defensive performance, but I think you can wear them down with those two guys, and I think that's going to have to be their bread and butter. So I would use a ton more play action. I would just pound away with Nick and Kareem to start with. And, you know, and that will open things up for your tight ends. Unfortunate that David Njoku will have to miss this game. But I think that will, you know, open some things up for Austin Hooper. I think he will be able to get Jarvis and Odell more involved. And Baker's got to be on point. Baker can't be completing 53.8% of his passes. He's got to watch for batted balls. He's got to find those lanes. He's got to roll out, bootleg, you know, these kind of things. I think you'll see more of that this game.
All right, you feel better about the Browns then? Are you predicting a win, or what are you predicting?
I am going to predict a win. I'm going to pick them to win this game. You know, even though there won't be many fans, at least there will be, you know, some making some noise in this game. So I think that will help. I think that they know that they really need to come out and win this game. The thing that is a bit worrisome for them, it should be, about the Bengals, is this is a team with a lot of heart, a lot of resolve, and we saw how they went out and beat the Browns in the finale last year. They really, you know, they really get their dander up for the Cleveland Browns, and I think that's going to happen again. And it's going to be a dogfight like it always is between these teams.
Mary Kay, thank you very much. As always, we read you in the Plain Dealer every day and Cleveland.com.
Thanks for joining
us, Mary Kay.
Sure, thanks, guys.
All right, we will talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot joining us as she normally does on Tuesdays at 11, but today nice enough to join us right here in the afternoon to give us the lowdown on the Browns and what she thinks about the Bengals.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.